have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we've reached the end of our hoarded resources, our
For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we're glad that in thy condescending mercies thou hast allowed us thy blessed felt presence. We always have thy providential presence, for thou art omnipresent. But it is especially blessed when thou art pleased in mercy to allow us thy blessed felt presence. We're glad that in these days of looseness and low living and immoral practices and coldness and compromise, we're glad it's still possible to have the living God come and be the needed one with us. We cherish thy presence. We desire that thou shalt have full right of way. We don't only welcome thee, blessed Holy Ghost, to be present. We welcome thee to order the battle, to have full right of way, because we do not know how to order the battle. We pray that thou wilt do what no human being can do. Make thy truth to find lodging in hearts, quicken it to never dying souls. Give us at least a few that will lift in prayer while we preach. The glory and the praise and the honor for any and all good be unto the triune I am. For thou, O Lord, art alone worthy. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I call your attention to one word found in this 57th chapter of Isaiah and verse 15, and invite you to think with me upon the momentous word of all the Scriptures, the word eternity. Some time ago, someone asked, "What is eternity?" And a child gave a rather unique answer and declared, "It is the lifetime of the Almighty." I guess that's a fair definition. It might in part be defined by saying that eternity is time with both ends knocked out. The most fitting illustration that I know of to endeavor to illustrate eternity is found in a perfect circle. A perfect circle appears without end, without beginning end or ending end, and eternity is without end, without beginning end, and without ending end. It is a bit striking to remember that this word is found only once in all of the 66 books of the Bible. It never can be fully comprehended by the mind of mortal man. It is flippantly and lightheartedly used. And yet every soul in Adam's race is inseparably connected with eternity. In the light of what I have thus far said, it behooves us individually to gather every measure of the message of eternity that our heart and head can lay hold upon and take in. And in an attempt to do that, I would like to have you tonight to think with me upon eternity as it is related to God, to time, to the redeemed, and to the lost. I'm so very glad that the Bible makes it clear that our God is eternal. Those young ladies that sang so beautifully a while ago didn't ask me what I was going to preach, and I didn't ask them what they were going to sing. In fact, I didn't know they were going to sing. But God knew all about both, And they sang about His eternal being. And I'm glad that this is one way that our God differs from every other God in the universe. Every other God had a beginning and already has had or soon will have an end. But our God never did have a beginning. He never shall have an end. I think of that and I'm reminded of the statement written over in the Psalms, the 90th division in the second verse, where it says, the eternal God, or before the mountains were brought forth and ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art our God. Some time ago, I crossed the great chain of the Rocky Mountains for the first time, going into Grand Junction, Colorado for a meeting. And upon beholding those great mountains, this verse of Scripture came to my mind. Psalm 90 and verse 2. Preacher, how long have the mountains been in that place? I don't know for sure how long they've been there. I know something more important than knowing how long they've been there. Before they ever had any being, before they came into their place, before they occupied that place on God's footstool, even from everlasting to everlasting, my Father and my God did and doth and shall exist. He is the eternal I Am. Over in the book of Deuteronomy 33 and 27, the eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. I'm glad that's a part of this book that gives my soul all the refuge it'll need all night long. That'll be security sufficient for the remaining part of this week in this camp meeting. The eternal God and the everlasting arms will be security enough for life as long as it may last. Yea, that will furnish us a place of hiding and security and refuge while the ceaseless cycles of a never-ending eternity roll on and on and on. I'm glad that He is the eternal God. But it seems to me that this fact of His being eternal may become richer to us, more precious to us, if we will view this fact in the light of other facts revealed in the Scriptures about this same great gracious God. The Bible that makes it clear that He is eternal reveals to us that He is omnipotent. I'm glad He is almighty in His power. That fact is set forth for us again and again in the Word. Over in the very first verse of the Bible, we have a testimony to that fact. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I'm glad for that. For create in its strictest sense means to make something out of nothing. That's something that you and I can't do, but my Heavenly Father can. Good news to have the good response relative to the new building, I understand, is to be out here to the right. Well, I could assure you that when they get ready to put up that building, if they would send out plenty of men that are good builders and give them every kind of material that they need to put up that new building, be sure that they keep away from them any and all tools, they won't get the building put up, even if they do have the money. And if you reverse the order and give them every kind of tool that they need from start to finish for the building to be erected, they won't get the building put up. But back there somewhere in the eternal past, my loving Heavenly Father had neither tools nor material. He didn't need either one. Before there was ever a single stone, before there was ever a clod of dirt or a speck of dust or a grain of sand, He brought into being the heaven and the earth. That kind of a God is big enough to solve our little problems, iron out our difficulties, give Holy Ghost camp meetings, meet the needs of mortal men, and bind up broken hearts and do what mortal man needs to have done for him, both in time and in eternity. We get no further than the third verse of that same first chapter of Genesis until we strike another testimony to the power, the almighty power of God. hear him as he says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, I'm glad he was able to do that. These good lights that we have here tonight are in great contrast to those old coal oil lamps that I used to study by in Muhlenberg County, Kentucky. Oh, I suppose if I'd been born in different states from whence you came, I would have said kerosene. But in Kentucky, it was plain coal oil. Those old coal oil lamps didn't give a very good light, especially if the wick hadn't been properly trimmed or if the globe hadn't been recently cleaned. But those old coal oil lamps were in great contrast to these or these to them. But these good lights haven't come into being by accident or chance. There were hours and hours yonder spent in the place of invention. And after the invention was made, they still need to set up a dynamo somewhere. They need to have all of the cable stretched, the connections all made. And when all of that is done, they still don't speak these lights on or speak them off. There still needs to be a flipping of the button or a pressing of a button or a pulling of the cord. But back yonder somewhere in the eternal past, my loving Heavenly Father didn't spend any hours in the place of invention. He never set up any dynamos anywhere. He stretched no cables. He made no connections. He didn't flip any buttons or pull any cords. He said, let there be light, and there was light. That kind of a God is able to make the light of the gospel to shine in sin-benighted hearts and chase away sinful darkness and establish light in the souls of mortal men and transform individuals until he can make them to be shining lights in an awful, dark, sin-benighted world. Job testifies to the greatness of God when he declares in the 27th chapter, or 26th chapter in the 7th verse, that he hangeth the earth upon nothing. You and I couldn't hang a goose feather on nothing and make it stay. But our loving Heavenly Father placed this old globe out there on nothing, and it's been doing a good job of staying across the centuries. That kind of a God will be big enough for my cares and yours and my perplexities and yours and my problems and yours. Here Isaiah, as he testifies to the greatness of God in the 40th chapter and the 12th verse, who measures the waters in the hollow of his hand. I didn't make any survey to find out. I don't really know who has the biggest palm here. But I'm satisfied of one thing, that whosoever has that largest one, if it were thus outstretched, and if 2 tablespoons full of water were poured therein, would be enough to make it overflow. But to think of my loving Heavenly Father having a hand big enough to measure the waters in the hollow of his hand. Imagine pouring in the Atlantic and the Pacific, the Arctic and the Antarctic and the Indian, and the red and the white and the black and the Caspian and the Aegean and the North and all of the rest of the seas and the lakes and the rivers and the springs and the ponds thrown in, and measure them in the hollow of his hand. Brother, that kind of a hand is able to reach away down a little bit lower than the lowest soul has ever fallen into sin, and lift him up and lift him out and set him up and tune him up and get him ready to go up in the rapture. Bless his name. I'm glad to tell you that the Bible makes it clear that our God, who is eternal, is omnipotent. The same book that makes these truths clear to us makes it clear that that God is omniscient. He is the all-knowing God. Over in the book of Psalms, the 147th division, the 40th verse, he telleth the number of the stars and calleth them all by their names. I'm glad for such a testimony of God's omniscience. He is the all-knowing God. I understood from a World Book encyclopedia that the estimated number of stars was 40 billion. And then a professor from Indiana University claimed that there are not 40 billion, nor 40 trillion, or quadrillion, or quintillion, or sextillion, or but 20 septillion of stars. 20 septillion. If there are 20 septillion, there must be a few more, seeing that no man can number them. But did you hear the declaration in connection with that? He knoweth the number of the stars and then calleth them all by their names. I have difficulty learning all the names in that class of 80-some students over at GBS. I have some difficulty keeping all the names straight in those two classes that have 70 or better in them. But to think that my loving Heavenly Father could call all of the stars of the heavens by name. But wait a minute, that's just a little bit of His star knowledge. That's saying nothing about all the rest that He knows. I don't know much about the past. I know less about the present. I know still less about the future. But my loving Heavenly Father knows everything about the past. He knows everything about the present, and He knows everything about the future. In fact, He knows all we know and all we don't know. There just isn't anything to know but what our loving Heavenly Father knows. He knows what your name is, and your name is, and your name is, and your name is. He knows which pew you are sitting on or chair you're occupying. He knows you by name. He knows your address. He knows where you are spiritually. He knows every sinful thought you've ever entertained. If it isn't under the blood of Jesus, He has a record of every wicked word that has fallen from your lips. If it isn't under the blood of Jesus, He has a record of every wicked deed that you ever did commit. He knows us as we not appear, but as we actually are. I'm glad He is the all-knowing God. But perhaps at this point somebody feels like interrupting the preacher and saying, wait a minute, preacher, I thought you were going to preach on eternity. Well, I'm trying to deal with the subject, but I want you to know that this God is not just eternal in His existence, He is eternal in His being. To say it a little differently, He not only always was and always will be, but He always was who He now is, and He never shall cease to be who He now is. To say it a little bit differently, He not only is omnipotent, He always was omnipotent, and He always will be almighty in His power. He not only does know all things, He always did know all things, and He ever shall know all things. I'm glad to share good news with you and tell you there is an eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immutable, unchanging God in the high and holy place that inhabiteth eternity. Hallelujah to His name. In the midst of a changing church and changing times and changing people and changing conditions and changing camp meetings, I'm glad we have a changeless God. He is eternal. He is eternally the same. If we believe this, it ought to enable us to lay hold upon precious promises and claim them and to see God mightily glorified therein. I'm so glad to tell you that He is able to back up His promises, for He is the all-sufficient One. I pass from eternity as it is related to God and reminds you of eternity in its relationship to time. Time, as we consider it, hasn't been in existence a great long while, at least not in comparison with eternity. I don't know exactly how long it has been since Adam was created. It seems to me there is a good reason for believing that it's been around 6,000 years. Anyway, if you were to change 6,000 years into days, it's just been something like 2,200,000 days since Adam took his first breath. If you were to change it into hours, it's just been around 52,600,000 hours since Adam took his first breath. If Adam had lived till this good night, and if he had saved $10 each day he lived, he still wouldn't be the most wealthy person on the face of the earth. Time, for mortal man at least, hasn't been in existence very long. Time can variously be illustrated. It in part is illustrated by flowers. See them as they grow up. Life is like unto the flower that grows up, blooms so beautifully, and soon withers and is gone. And life may further be likened unto the grass. See it as it grows beautifully green, and then it's cut down, withers, and is soon gone. And Father Time with a sickle will soon mow you and me down. It's such a little while until we'll be gone. It is further, life is further illustrated in its brevity by the steam. Watch the kettle, the tea kettle, in the days when grandmother still heated the water yonder on the stove instead of having that hot water heater. Do you see it as it begins to boil and the steam rises above the spout? But up here a little ways, you fail to see it. It vanishes and is gone. And life is like a vapor. It will soon be gone. Such a little while has it been since we ran and played on the hillsides in the country as children. But how fast, Father, time is hurrying us off to eternity. It's just a little while until every one of you out there, from the youngest to the oldest, will be gone. Time can be measured by the seconds, by the minutes, by the hours, by the days, by the weeks, by the months, by the years, by the decades, by the centuries, by the millenniums, and by the ages. But you can't measure eternity. Time had a beginning, and time shall have an end. Did you read in this book about that solemn experience when the angel stands with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, with hand raised to heaven, shall declare that time shall be no more? They'll bring in the last load of fish from the Atlantic one of these days. They'll harvest the last crop of oranges to be harvested. They'll lift the last ton of coal out of the bosom of earth and run the last automobile off of the assembly line. There's going to be the last camp meeting that ever will be held in God's universe. There's coming a last altar call, a last invitation. Time had a beginning and time shall soon have an end. But eternity never had a beginning, and eternity never, never shall have an end. I pass from eternity as it is related to God and time, and remind you of eternity in its relationship to the blood-washed and the redeemed. Oh, what a blessed fact is the fact of the blisses and the glories and the grandeurs of the redeemed shall be forever. I tried to get it across to students recently, and I'm satisfied I didn't succeed. But it is solemnly true that if you and I could go to heaven tonight and go with a consciousness that we would have to leave after a million years, we couldn't enjoy heaven to the fullest extent. Oh, I know a million years would be a long, long, long time, but a million years would finally come to an end. If we could have all of the blisses and the glories of a holy heaven with a keen consciousness that one day I'll have to leave this, there'll be a time when I'll cease to have the benefits of a holy heaven. You couldn't enjoy it to the fullest extent. But when I read some of the truths written in the book relative to this, I thought it should encourage us to be determined by God's grace to make it inside of the city. Did you read what Jesus declared? I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. Somebody said that Jesus had just been doing some interior decorating for about 2,000 years. I don't know what all he's been doing. He said, in my Father's house, not are going to be, but are many mansions. So evidently, he's not making mansions, maybe dressing them up a bit, getting them ready for those that are coming. Did you hear what the psalmist said when he declared, I shall be satisfied when I wake in thy likeness? Did you hear what the mighty apostle Paul said when he declared, if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Yes, sir, we live in a crumbling, decaying tabernacle, as it were, in this fleshly body. But I'm glad to tell you there is a prepared place for a prepared people. Paul there is telling us about the best house built by the best builder in the best location anybody, anywhere, anytime ever heard tell of. I'm glad to tell you it is going to be unspeakably blessed to make it all the way through to the celestial city. It'll be blessed over there because we can hear his, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. It will be most blessed over there when we have a glorified body that never will get tired nor weary nor worn, never will have any diseases or aches or pains. It will be most blessed over there when one day we can finally be like Jesus. Preacher, is that ever going to happen? Read it in the book over in the first epistle of John, as he declares, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm glad to tell you it's going to be mighty blessed. In fact, that'll be more wonderful than living in a mansion. That'll be more wonderful than dangling our feet on the river of the water of life freely flowing. It'll be more wonderful than eating of the tree of life to actually one day finally be like Jesus. Bless his name. I want to make it through to such an experience as that by the grace that he affords and the power there is in the blood to such an end as that. But wait a minute, it doesn't stop there. It'll be most blessed in that celestial climb to meet up with the redeemed of all ages. I'd like to go down Hallelujah Avenue if there's where Peter and Paul reside and have a talk with him. I'd like to go over on Glory Square if that's where Moses lives and talk to him about how blessed it was when God verified the promise of Philippians 4:19. Declaring, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And there they were under the scorching equatorial sun without any umbrellas to protect them therefrom. And God put a pillar of cloud in the heavens and everyone could pass under it. They didn't have any electric light system such as this. And God put a pillar of fire in the heavens until everybody could see how to travel day or night. They didn't have any bakery to buy bread, and God sent them bread all the way from the glory world. They didn't have any running water system, and God sent them water out of the rock. They didn't have any meat market to buy meat at, and God sent them quail in abundance. They didn't have any department store to shop at on Friday or Saturday night, either one. And God wouldn't let their shoes and their clothes wear out for 40 years. Bless his name forever. I tell you, it's going to be mighty blessed to meet up with the best of all the earth for all eternity to dwell. I'm glad to tell you that there is a brighter day to dawn for the blood washed and the redeemed. It's going to be mighty blessed to meet up with all of the redeemed of all ages. It's going to be mighty blessed to be associated with the holy angels. It's going to be mighty blessed to meet up with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost in that celestial climb. Oh, bless his name. I don't want to miss it, and I don't want one of you to miss it. It's going to be more blessed by far than mortal man has ever been able to tell. In fact, if you make it over there, you can look back and see how miserably that two before had preacher from Kentucky made it that night, how miserably he failed as he endeavored to tell us about it. Twill be so many, many, many times more blessed than mortal tongue is able to relate. It's going to be mighty blessed over there because there won't be anybody sitting on the meeting over there. There won't be anybody fussing against holiness over there. There won't be anybody criticizing over there. There won't be any misunderstandings over there. There won't be any heartaches or heartbreaks over there. There won't be any sin over there. There won't be any suffering over there. There won't be any Satan to meet up with over there. Bless his name. I'm glad to tell you there is to be a brighter day to dawn for the blood washed and the redeemed. It will just stay true one of these days. One of these days, every individual will be enjoying the benefits of an eternal day. An eternal day had no yesterdays to precede it. It'll have no tomorrows to follow after it. It'll not be ushered in by the rays of the natural sun. It will be ushered in by the rays of the S-U-N of righteousness that shall rise with healing in his wings. Hallelujah to his holy name now and forevermore. Bless his name. I'm glad to tell you he hasn't died in vain. Everybody over there will be enjoying everlasting life. Do you know what everlasting life is? Well, it's life with every undesirable thing in the light of eternity torn out of it, and everything in the light of eternity poured into it, and that without any termination. I could understand why you might not be interested in getting religion. I could understand why you might not be interested in church membership. But why wouldn't anybody anywhere, anytime that had his or her right mind be interested in everlasting life? Life with every undesirable thing taken out of it and everything that is desirable in the light of eternity poured in it and without any mixture and without any termination. I'm glad to tell you I'm so glad to tell you that everything that a holy heaven holds for us will not be for a million, nor a billion, nor a trillion, nor a quadrillion, nor a quintillion, nor a sextillion, nor a septillion, nor an octillion, nor a nonillion, nor a decillion, nor a duodecillion of years, but forever and forever and forever. I'm glad to tell you that there is an eternity inhabited by an eternal God, and He has eternal provision for redeemed souls. Bless His name forever and forever. I wish I knew out of this congregation I might have 100 people that would lift for me in prayer in the next 12 or 15 minutes as I look at another side of the subject. If the Bible left my subject here, we could leave it here and go on our way. But there's another side to the subject. Not only eternity as it is related to God and time and the redeemed, but there is eternity as it is related to the doomed, the lost, the damned, down in Trinidad, down in the island of Trinidad, there's a lake of pitch. Over in Africa, there's a lake of ink. In Australia, there is a lake of boiling water. But somewhere in God's universe, there is a lake of fire and brimstone, and every single soul in Adam's race that spurns the love of Jesus, dies without the benefits of the blood of Jesus, fails to go all the way with God and obey and make it through to heaven, shall have to be an inhabitant of the confines of the doomed and the lost. Be an inhabitant in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And remember that every soul that slips into that awful abode of the doomed and the lost will have all of the torments that are wrapped up in that little word, lost. There's something solemn about being lost. There's something sad about being lost. Some time ago, a child was lost in southern Indiana. Some child, having observed this lost child, declared that it went into the stickers. 1,000 or so individuals turned out to look for somebody's child lost in the stickers in southern Indiana. They never did find the child. After the frost had done its devastating work, the skeleton was found yonder. I can't imagine what life would be like if I knew that our firstborn, our David Wesley, were lost. I can't visualize what it would be like if our second one, Stanley Nathan, were lost all night, all day, all week, all month, lost. I can't visualize what it would be like to try to sleep if our only daughter, Wesina Ruth, were lost somewhere, lost the whole night through, lost the next day, lost the following night, lost all week, lost all month. If our baby boy, Stephen Randall, were lost, lost the whole night through, the whole day through, the whole week through, lost the whole month long, I can't visualize what it would be like. But I preach tonight to souls that are not lost in the stickers,
I preach to souls that are not lost in the jungles of Africa. I preach to immortal souls, some of you that are lost in sin. And unless you soon get to God, you'll be lost in the burning regions of a devil's hell. And every soul that slips into that awful abode of the doomed and the lost, in that lake of fire and brimstone, shall not only have the torments that are wrapped in the word of the lost, but they shall have the torments that are expressed by the thought of separation. There's something solemn about separations. The death angel invaded our home before my 9th birthday and took away our darling mother. 'Twas such an awful separation that seemed that my soul would have me die too, or a cry to such an end rather than to live. Oh, how sad to have that separation. But it's just a little while until there'll be a separation. A mother on the right hand and a father on the left. A mother on the left hand and a father on the right. A father and a mother on the right hand and a son or a daughter or both on the left, and vice versa. There's going to be a separation. Separated from a holy God and separated with an awful devil. Separated from a holy heaven and separated unto an horrible hell. Separated from love and separated unto hate. Separated from light and separated unto darkness. Separated from all that is good and separated unto all that is evil. I don't want to be lost, and I don't want you to be lost, and I don't want the horrible torments that are wrapped up in the separation that shall come to those that are doomed and are condemned to abide in the lake of fire and brimstone. Not only so, but all that inhabit that abode of the lost will have the torments that are wrapped up in living in fire. I can't imagine what it would be like to be severely burned. I don't know what that is like, but that's picnic fun in comparison with living in the fires of damnation. And God Almighty let one man send his testimony back from hell, and that man testified, I am tormented in these flames or this flame. He is still there in the fires of damnation tonight. And unless some of you soon get to God, you will not only be lost and separated, but you will have the torments of the fires of an awful, awful place of torment that shall never cease. But they shall further be tormented by the associations that shall be theirs. How would you like to be locked up with the biggest gambler in Florida, with the biggest murderer, the one that has the most human blood dripping from his or her hands? How would you like to be locked up with the biggest thief, the biggest bank robber, the biggest adulterer and whoremonger there is in all the state, locked up with that kind of a crowd in a rather small room, all night to spend and the next day to stay and the next week to remain? Surely some would feel like saying, preacher, if that were the only way I could live, I wouldn't want to live at all. But it's just a little while until some of you will be separated from a place where family prayer has been, separated from a wholeness church. And we'll be living in the fires of an awful hell, and we'll be there associated with the vilest of all the ages, not for a season, but forever. And then in hell, remembering that you didn't have to go, that it was your decision that sent you there. And the worst of all the torments will be the fact that you're not there for a season, but forever and forever, forever and forever. Over in Mark 3 and 29, it's eternal damnation. In Matthew 25 and 46, it's everlasting punishment. And in the book of Jude, it's everlasting fire. And in Revelation 14 and 11, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have not rest day nor night who are tormented in this flame. I beg you, in interest of your soul, don't spurn the love of the eternal God, for time is rapidly running out and you are about to miss the blisses of heaven. And to miss them is for you to be forever lost in the torments of the doomed and the damned. In interest of your soul, I beg you to turn to Jesus tonight. There's one question that is of really vital importance, and that question is, where will I spend eternity? It is either to be forever saved or to be forever lost. There is no second chance. As death finds you, so shall the judgment, and as the judgment find you, so shall your eternity be. Let everybody stand. Dear loving Heavenly Father, as a judgment-bound man, we've been preaching to judgment-bound souls. We pray that the same blessed Holy Ghost that gave us the scripture lesson and has moved in our midst will linger a little bit longer in conviction upon mothers and dads and sons and daughters that are fast treading the way to an awful devil's hell and to the awful abode of the undone there to be forever and forever lost. Help us for Jesus' sake. We ask it in His name. I want everybody to bow your head in reverence to God while they get an invitation number ready to sing. And somebody ought to start this way. Somebody ought to come before they even start the first stanza. Who will do that? Who will do that? Who's hungry hard enough from the front, the middle, or the back to just get out now? Somebody ought to come. Will you do it? Who's going to step out and come and let God meet the need of your heart? Saints, please pray or invite or do both. Maybe ought to speak a word of invitation to somebody that needs Jesus. Somebody ought to be here. Yes, yes, they're on the way. They're on the way, and others ought to come. Yes, they're still coming. They're still coming. And numbers of others ought to be here tonight. We wait in your behalf. We plead in your best interest. Remember, you and I don't get to decide. We don't get to decide whether we will exist forever. We do get to decide where we will spend eternity. I beg you to come. I plead with you to pray. Who else is going to join these that are here already? Come right on quickly. Don't grieve away the Holy Ghost. Somebody else needs to pray. Somebody else needs to get sanctified. Somebody else needs to get sanctified. Somebody else needs to get saved. Somebody else needs to get reclaimed. Yes, they're still coming. Saints, are you holding steady? Are you praying? There's souls that are about to miss it forever. About to be lost, not for a season, but forever. About to be separated, not for a season, but forever. About to burn, not for a season, but forever. About to inhabit the confines of the undone forever and forever. About to be forever and forever lost. Who else is going to come to pray? Sing whatever you feel led to sing. Numbers are here, but where are the others that are going to pray tonight? Where are the others? Where somebody else came over here. Numbers of others are going to hell unless they soon get to God. I'm glad there's still some strong-hearted men that have enough courage to do what they know they ought to do. They're still coming. Who else? Who else? Who else is going to pray tonight? Who else? Who else? Oh, where are the other young people that are coming? Where are the other teenagers that are coming? Where are the other mothers and dads that are coming? Who else? Who else is coming? Who else? Oh, you and you out there that are not sanctified, remember that wholeness is still a requirement for heaven. Numbers are still on the way, and numbers of others ought to be on the way. Will you and you and you come to pray? Who else is coming? Who else is coming? Oh, yes, yes. They're still coming. Saints, pray on. Hold steady. God is here to deliver. God wants to meet the need. He's on the giving hand. The eternal God, the all-knowing God, the one that knows your needs, wants to meet them. Will you let Him? Will you let Him? Who else is going to pray tonight? Who else? Who else? They're still coming. They're still coming. Oh, will you or you or you let God meet the need that you came to camp with tonight? Who else is coming? Somebody else is on the way, and another is on the way. Who else is coming? From way in the back, will you and you that have a need in your soul, let us help you pray for you tonight. Come on. Who else is coming? Who else is coming? Who else is coming? Somebody else is on the way. Somebody else ought to be here seeking God. Will you and you and you come to pray? Another one came over to my left. The Holy Ghost is still lingering. He's still speaking. He's still dealing. Are you coming? Are you coming to pray? Somebody else is coming. Yes, they're still coming. They're still coming. Oh, I appreciate the lingering presence of the blessed Holy Ghost. Are you and you going to miss it? Are you and you going to miss it? Way back there, who else is coming? Somebody else up here to the front. Some others up closer to the front need to pray too. Will you do it? Will you do it? Oh, there'll never be a moment to regret making the right decision. There'll never be a moment to regret getting right with God. There'll be an eternity to regret that you didn't. Who else is going to seek God tonight? Who else? Who else? Who else? Oh, I beg you to pray. I plead with you to come. I entreat you in the name of Jesus that you will let Him be your Savior. Let Him be your sanctifier. He wants to reclaim you as a backslider. Will you let Him do it? Who else is going to pray? Who else? Who else? They're still coming. They're still coming. Somebody else is on the way here and over here to the right. Who else is going to seek God tonight? Who else? Who else? Who else? Oh, I beg you, don't go to hell when heaven is offered. Don't be lost when you may be saved. Don't be forever and forever doomed when you may be forever. It's possible for you to be forever and forever saved. Where are the others that are going to pray tonight? Where are the others? Where are the others? Others stepped out and came over to my right. Will you pray? Will you do it? Will you let God? Will you let God meet the need of your heart? Who else is coming? Who else? We're waiting for you and you and you out there to come. We're waiting for others, others to come. Some more did come over there to the left. I beg you to pray. I plead with you to pray. I beg you to surrender to God. Will you do it? Who else is coming now to pray? Who else? Who else? Oh, time will soon be over. Eternity never will be over. Eternity never, never, never will end. Will you and you and you come to pray? Will you do it? Will you do it? Will you do it? Oh, don't let the devil cheat you out. Come on, young lady. You that have tried and failed and tried and failed. God can fix you up on the inside until you won't ever have to come back to have that need met anymore. Where are those young men that are out there hooked on one habit or another? Oh, Jesus is able to break the fetters of sin from your soul. He's able to deliver you from your wicked habits. He's able to save you from all of your sins. Will you let Him? Will you let Him? Will you let Him? Somebody else stepped out and came over here. Where are those men out there? Those needy men that are soon going to be in hell unless they soon get to God. I beg you and you to come to pray. Will you do it? Will you do it? I don't want to wait 1 minute too long. And I don't want to quit 1 minute too soon. I want you to sing the last two stanzas of Almost Persuaded. And if no one comes, that's all I ask you to sing. If no one else comes, that's all I ask you to sing. Saints, are you doing your very best? Somebody is missing it. It may be your relative. It may be your neighbor. It may be your friend. Oh, whoever it is, Jesus died for him or her as much as he did for you or for me. Who else is coming to pray? They're still coming. They're still on the way. But sing on. They're still coming. Oh, hold steady, saints. Hold steady. Who else? Who else is going to pray? Who else? Somebody came over here to the right. Who else? Who else is coming? Somebody else came over here to the left. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Come on to Jesus tonight. Come on to pray tonight. Come on to seek help from God. They're still coming. Saints, pray on. Hold steady. They're still coming. Who else? Who else? Who else is going to let God meet the need of your heart? Somebody else came and another one is on the way. Will you and you and you let God do what you know you need to have Him do for you? Who else? Who else? Oh, in interest of your soul that will live on forever and forever, I beg and plead, I entreat you to come. Who else? Who else is coming? They're still coming. Oh, I'm glad there's some precious teenagers that want to get to God. Over here, someplace, places. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Over here's a chair. Who else is going to seek help from God with you and your faith? Who else over here in this section needs to get right with God, needs to get sanctified, needs to get reclaimed or saved? Will you or you come? Will you do it? Will you do it? And way back there in the back, those that have been almost persuaded but not altogether, come on, let us help you pray tonight. Who else? Who else is coming? Who else is coming? Just a little bit, please. Just a little bit. Oh, let me urge you. Reconsider. It is not whether you will or won't get religion. That's not the issue. The issue is not whether you will or won't join a church. The issue is between an holy heaven and an horrible hell. The issue is between being lost forever or saved forever. I beg you to reconsider. Sing them over again, those last two. That's all I ask you to sing if no one else comes. Who else is going to pray? Who else? Who else? The altar call will soon be over if no one else wants God, but somebody else came over to the left. Somebody else came over to the left. Who else is going to pray now? Who else? Who else? I'm so glad we waited. Somebody else came. I'm so glad we waited. Somebody else came. What if it were your son or your daughter? Who else? Who else? Who else is coming? Who else? Who else? Somebody else needs God. Somebody else ought to come. Will you and you and you? Let the Lord meet the need of your heart. Will you pray? Will you do it? Will you do it? Sing right on. There are others out there that are lost, already lost in sin. And unless you soon get to God, you'll have to be lost. Lost in hell. Lost in the lake of fire and brimstone. Lost. Separated from God and all that is good. Separated. Living in fire. Living in the association of the lost of all ages. Who else is coming now to pray? Who else? Who else? Who else? The blessed Holy Ghost is lingering. The blessed Holy Ghost is lingering. Are you and you going to let the devil cheat you out? Who else? Who else is coming now? Who else? Who else? Somebody else is on the way over to the left. Somebody else is on the way down that middle aisle. I meant what I said, if no one came, but some came, sing them on again, sing on again. The altar call will soon be history, will soon be over if no one else wants to get to God. Here are these, where are the others? Here are these, where are the others? Who else is going to come? Who else? Who else? Who else? Somebody else came over to the left. Saints, I'd like to urge you to pray a bit longer. Somebody else is already coming. And others out there need, so desperately need to get to God tonight. Will you and you and you come to pray? Will you do it? Will you do it? If I could give this altar call tonight to some that used to attend this camp meeting that died in sin and missed it, missed heaven forever, I wouldn't need to have them sing anymore. If I could give this invitation to some of you out there a little bit in the future, I wouldn't need to have any more singing done. I beg you to pray while there's opportunity. Don't sing the first or the second, just sing that last one one time more. If no one else comes, that's all I ask you to sing for this altar call. There are others that ought to be here already. There are others that ought to be here already. This is all the singing I ask to be done for this altar call tonight. If no one else comes, if no one else wants God, who else is coming? Who else is coming? Somebody else did come over to the right. Somebody else came over there. Who else is going to pray? Who else? Who else? Who else? Who else is coming to seek God tonight? Who else? Who else? Who else? Are you and you and you going to let God meet the need of your heart? To get sanctified, will you come? To get saved, will you come? To get reclaimed, to get out of that old lukewarm condition, will you or you come? Will you do it? Will you do it? Somebody else step out over there. Just a little bit. I don't want to wait 1 minute too long. I don't want to wait a minute too long. But I don't want to quit 1 minute too soon. I don't want you and you to miss it. Don't sing the first. Don't sing the second. Sing the last one. One more time. That's all I ask you to sing. If no one else comes, who else is going to pray? Who else? Saints, would you pray one more time for those that are almost persuaded? Those that are almost persuaded to be almost saved is to be altogether lost. To be almost saved is to be altogether lost. This is all of the singing I ask to be done for this altar call if no one else wants God. Are you coming? Are you coming? Please don't let the devil cheat you out. Don't let the devil cheat you out. Here are some places over here to kneel. Will you and you come? Will you do it? Will you do it? Somebody else. Somebody else came over there. Who else? Who else is coming? Who else is coming? Yes, some more came over to my right. Some more came over there. Sing right on. I meant what I said. If no one came, but somebody came, sing it on. Who else? Who else is coming? Right over there is a chair too. Are there others? Are there others? Are there others? Where are the others that are going to get in? Where are the others? Where are the others? Come right on, young people. Come right on. Whoever you are, whatever the need. Come right on. Let us help you and you in prayer. Right up here is a chair. A number more came. I think we ought to gather in to pray with these. After they sing it one more time, if they come or if they don't, sing that last stanza one more time. And then I want us to gather in to pray if they come or if they don't. If you're going to make it in, if you're going to make it in, if you're not going to be cheated out by the enemy of your heart and home, come on, let us help you pray. I think we should gather in to pray after they sing that last stanza one more time. Please sing it for us. Somebody else came over here. Are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming to seek the Lord tonight? Are you coming? The altar call is almost over. Somebody else came over to my right. The altar call is nearly history. Who else is coming just now to pray? Who's coming just now to pray? All right, all right. It isn't too late to come. I want everybody that can to gather in. And you that are praying, don't get up until you get through. Don't be cheated out at the altar. Let God meet the need of your heart.